Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 125, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News.
Wow.
What? Damn.
Ever.
It's Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. he's a guy named Jack who started crack years before. Then he started TDZ to give us more. That is courtesy of Crispy Meme Donut. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you something. I think you'll understand when I say that something. You gotta wash your hands. You gotta wash your hands. You gotta wash your hands. Please wash your hands. Please stay safe.
Why,
that AKA is from at Singing Pilgrim, Pamela M.M. Berkeley, the display name. Thank you for that Beatles inspired AKA. Gotta wash
the
your
Beatles.
Hands.
Gotta love them. Gotta wash your hands also.
Yep.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very first face on Mount Zeitmore. She is the hilarious, she is the talented, the Lil Zam herself, Jamie Loftus!
I wanna stand all corporate femme power in. I wanna bathe in Shield gasoline.
Shield.
I wanna make up with oppressors. Yas, glass ceiling, fall on me.
Oh,
hi.
That was beautiful. Hi. Oh,
did you write that AKA?
That's at Just TDZ AKA.
Ah, wonderful.
That was a very special one. That's also a fun fact, my parents' wedding song, and they are still married.
Okay,
even
great.
Though, well, they just because they can't afford to get divorced.
Ah, got it. Strategic elongation of the marriage.
Exactly. They're like, do we want to have disposable income to go to the 99 or do we want to get divorced? They made their call.
What's the 99?
Oh, the 99 is a New England restaurant that sucks. It's
where married couples who don't want to get married because they need the income go for dinner.
It was like where it's like a variation on Chili's. It's just like where you go to argue with your family.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Huh. Yeah. Sauvage Garden. That's who that is, right?
Yes, it is. Absolutely Sauvage Garden.
No affiliation with Olive Garden.
No. Yes.
Well, guys, we are podcasting. We're casting pod clear across the city of Los Angeles from our own respective bunkers. We're bunkered down, as Miles mentioned on yesterday's episode. That was the last one in person for a while. That one was actually recorded last week, and now we are remote.
Ooh. Yeah.
And feels a little weird screaming into my empty house. But
it's good. It sounds good. Did y'all see the whatchamacallit, the John Oliver episode from last night? That was the most dystopian content yet. It was still really funny, but he's just sitting in a white void in an undisclosed location.
I just saw that thumbnail and I was like, ooh, yeah, okay. That's
Shout out to those writers. It's still a good episode, but it's like the thumbnail is jarring.
Right.
Shout out to Daniel O'Brien.
Yeah.
Is it like a webcam? Is he just like sitting there? Like, does he look like we look in each other's Google Hangouts right now?
No, it looks like grainy. It looks like it's just like a white void background. It's like it looks like a broadcast that would happen like right before they're like like the helicopters are about to descend, like take cover.
Right.
Like a very calm British person against a void background.
It's like it was like pre-recorded. It's like if you are seeing this message.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Like
just please chill.
Take cover.
If you've seen this message, please relax. Everything's all good.
I still associate white void backgrounds with like 80s TV versions of Heaven and also Apple ads.
And everyone's wearing a white suit. Yeah.
Well, here we are in our different bunkers. It's nice to see what everybody's house looks like, honestly.
Yeah. It's great. You can see the air vents in my roof.
Yeah. Someone's got central air. Wow.
Yeah.
And you look at mine, you're like, someone has a curtain for a door.
All right, let's tell the people what we're talking about today. So we're going to try and divvy things up a little bit. So act one, we won't do too much corona news. Act two will be more, what's happening on the news, what people are talking about on the news with regards to politics and also the pandemic. We're going to talk in act three about a little bit more diversions, and what we're all doing, in our respective, bunkers to stay sane.
Quarring down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's going to be kind of a new format. Like in act three, we're going to talk about how it was a good week for REM in terms of their streaming numbers.
Oh yeah.
Miles created an activity that I think is fun. I'm for one gonna try. And then we're gonna talk about the new method for getting off of cocaine.
Sounds brilliant. Just like most effective treatments for anything, it's only available to a very select few. But if you can get your hands on it, you will never do cocaine again.
Right. It was brought to us by Fiona Apple. We're all thrilled to go out and try it ourselves. But first, Jamie Loftus, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are, friend?
Oh, boy. I've been putting a lot of stuff in online shopping carts and then taking them out. And I feel like I encourage Zeitgang to share your dystopian cart with us. I've been hearing a lot of dystopian carts. I bought a katana.
Like a legit katana?
Not like a legit katana, like a $23 katana. I think it's like a cosplaying katana, but wanted to see how it felt in my hand,
Okay. Well, I will say, if you want to know how it feels, you almost want that real steel in your hands to really feel the balance of the blade.
Oh, okay. As a true blade master.
Yeah, as a Japanese person who's gonna pretend to be the samurai teacher. Yeah, I think you need this the real steel in your hands.
I'm gonna be like, what is that like old meme that's like, while you were at parties, I was studying the blade. That's gonna be like, while you were having sex with the love of your life, I was studying the blade.
Right.
Meanwhile, Isaac is just in the corner crying his eyes out.
With a bunch of bruises from your cosplay sword.
Right. Yeah, he just got in the way of my blade too many times.
Were you real when you said you got a saxophone? Or you're thinking about getting a sax?
I put that in the cart and then I took it out of the cart. I want a beginner's instrument. The student instruments are more affordable than I thought. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll get a clarinet. And Isaac was like, I don't want to hear that. And I was like, you have to be sensitive to your partner when you're ordering an annoying instrument.
Absolutely.
So I'm between an alto sax and a violin.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I think violin, I think you're going to, well, didn't you say you played oboe?
Yeah, but it turns out that's out of my tax bracket.
Yeah.
So expensive.
Have you seen reeds? Wild. And what reeds cost these days?
Oh, good boy. Yes. You think in the time of Corona, I can afford an oboe reed? Get real. Okay?
There's something, but I think either one, whether it's a sax or a violin, the visual of you playing the shit out of either one, I think will bring joy to many. So whichever it is.
I want to try. And then I wanted to get like a fake hazmat suit. I don't want to get a real one because I'm sure people like need them. But a fake like Breaking Bad Halloween costume hazmat suit. Because I've been doing Jane Fonda exercises and I want to do one in a hazmat suit. Just the same exact video.
It'll probably help you sweat a lot.
Just for the content?
Just for the content. You know, this is really a golden age for content when you think about it.
Yeah, the bar is about to go crashing through the floor, how low it's going to be.
I mean, Anna's on TikTok. Like, everyone's, we're all finding our new content niche.
Super, I'm going to start producer Anna OnlyFans
for just foot stuff.
Super producer Anna Hosnier is now going to be like a traffic reporter for the Daily Zeitgeist, but exclusively from TikTok. She's going to be telling us what the latest trends are, what's happening on TikTok up to the moment, the talk beat, the TikTok on TikTok. We're going to be getting, we found out about the Corona challenge that the kids are into. Yeah. Right before we started recording, which is kids licking a toilet seat to, you know, for the lulls. But, you know, it's not going to get them sick. It's just going to
If you
get
thought the memes were cool now, people. Before all this, wait about 6 days when the memes are going to, we're going to hit a new level of people trying to find meaning throughout all of this.
Jamie, what is something you think is underrated?
Oh, underrated is new life. My niece was born yesterday. I'm really excited about it. It is like a wild story, like just hearing, like, I mean, obviously people are still having babies and shit, but just the way that like they're brought into the hospital is a little bit different. But my niece was born. Her name is Carolina Clark, code name Corona Clark, and she weighed 7 pounds and 11 ounces, which is how you know that we're related.
So yeah, straight 7-Eleven baby. Yeah,
she's a straight up 7-Eleven baby.
Yeah, I wonder how many people are thinking like, "Hey, well, if you know everything's on pause, hey, can we put this pregnancy on pause? Like, do we got to deliver it now? Like, it's gonna be pretty rough."
Yeah, healthcare workers are, you know, just want to stay home as much as anybody, and especially ones who aren't, you know, necessary for specifically Corona stuff. But I think eventually, you know, all healthcare workers are probably going to be called in to help out in the effort.
Absolutely.
Shout out to all healthcare workers, I gang.
I know a couple of people who are very pregnant right now and who are going in for their like last checkups with their OBGYN, and it's like their tents outside the hospital. That's got to be a little bit unnerving. That's awesome to hear that it can work out.
And you can have a 7-Eleven babe.
You can have a little 7-Eleven baby. Every picture I've seen of her, she looks worried. So she can like read probably.
Genius. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated is starting to binge a good TV show. This is what, day three. I've already tried to watch two shows that I haven't watched before that are good, and I've gotten really stressed out and bored. Like, I was like, oh, now's the time to start Westworld. Now, this is it. This is my moment. But it's not, it's not the time for thinking TV.
Yeah.
Not right. Trying to challenge myself. Media wise at this time. And so I tried Westworld and I dropped it after two episodes, and then I went back and I watched something really fucked up on Netflix and felt way better.
I think like a new thing that would be tight, I was proposing this to Her Majesty, is if, you know, we're really like, things really start changing, why not fully regress, put up the Christmas decorations, watch only Christmas holiday films, and just be like,
we talked about it over the weekend too.
Oh, really? Like, yeah, let's just go into a time warp. Like, if I'm really gonna throw myself off, like, I might as well just go to the time where I'm like, yo, let's watch trash Christmas films, because there's plenty of those that I've still not seen, even though I am challenging myself to try and watch all of them.
Yo, I mean, we were thinking, like, after one failed episode of Westworld, we're like, should we bust out the Rankin Bass like specials right now? Like, are we doing this?
Yeah,
but. I give it 3 days. Miles. It'll happen.
I think the other thing, too, we were talking about it on yesterday's show, but the VHS archive that's on like the Internet Archive, it has stuff that's ripped from tapes from like the early as the 60s up until now, the mainly clustered in the like the late 80s and 90s when people were really ripping things off their VHS like decks. You can just go back and be like, I will watch a 3-hour cluster of Rocco's Modern Life from like 1997. Or things like that,
amazing.
Or commercials. There's, you know, keep yourselves entertained however you have to.
I have like a pile of VHSs at the house that is just like all the footage from my childhood of just my mom holding like a tank sized video recorder, screaming at children, being like, say hi. I was like, maybe it's time to digitize that. Maybe it's time to open those wounds.
Yeah. Start making a really cool art house film.
Yeah. Exactly.
Your mom just sounded a lot like Nicole Byer, by the way.
I encourage everyone to be like, you know, like be creative during this time and stuff, but it does make me laugh to think about like 2 years from now when just like a bunch of shitty dystopian movies come out at once and you're like, well, we know what that was.
I mean, think of all the fucking rom-com scripts that people are going to be fucking combing through this next year.
Or worse, mumblecore. I'm just like, if a mumblecore movie comes out about Corona, which it will, I'll flip a table, which I will.
Yeah. I'm actually keeping one of those old-timey metal trash cans right at my bedside and right next to me at all times, just in case it becomes time to panic and I need to throw it through a window. I recommend that. It's good.
Get you a throwing
release
can.
Valve. Yeah, get your throwing can. Finally, Jamie, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false?
I was struggling with the myth today. Everything feels like a myth. I guess that my myth, it may be more of a somber myth than I was planning, but like, here's the myth. The myth is that people will reach out to you when they're feeling lonely. They might not. Like, I've been like FaceTiming with friends over the weekend, or there's just been people who have just like FaceTime me out of nowhere and been like, hey, are you feeling okay? Are you feeling good? And it's just been, I don't know, it's been nice. And I've been calling I called my parents, which was annoying, but then I called, you know, aunts and uncles and shit like that. And like, it's been nice. I think that like, there's some people that you call and they don't want to admit, like, cause they're whatever. Proud that they're like, hey, I'm feeling a little lonely, feeling a little isolated, wish you hadn't moved across the country, a lot of those discussions. But it's been good. So I guess don't count on people, especially maybe the more prideful people in your life, they might not tell you that they're feeling lonely. Or my favorite is like when I would call a family member and then they would be like, Jesus Christ, I'm fine.
Right.
Please leave me alone. I was looking forward to this.
Dial at your own risk.
I had that with some of my relatives, and then they were sending text messages like, everybody chill out, this is gonna be fine. And then like the next time I talked to them, like 24 hours later, they had like made peace with the fact that our lives were about to change for a while. So it's, I think people are all going through this at their own rate.
But honestly, the people who are having a good week, all these video chat services, I mean, look at us. I've been on like a couple Google Hangouts. I think also too, all your text threads that you have a bunch of people, turn that into a video conference. You will be surprised how life affirming it can be to see everyone's faces. Because if you're fortunate enough to be out, like working from home and to have the free time, it can be very nourishing.
Mm. All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and so this being the news chunk, let's just get right into it. What do you guys...
Everyone, take a deep breath.
One of the best things I saw was from Sheila Blair, who was, I think she was in charge of the Fed under George W. Bush and into the Obama administration, and she, you know, a lot of the coverage about... you know, the economy in at this time, like as everything's shutting down, has been about the Fed and about the stock market. And she pointed out like lowering interest rates to zero doesn't help if businesses can't pay their loans back and they don't have cash flow. We need to get help out there, especially to small businesses and people already losing their jobs. And I just think that's an important point. Like this is something that I've kind of felt over and over again, really in the past few months, that there's just this sort of feedback loop between the mainstream media and Donald Trump specifically, and just wealthy, you know, media elites, and the sorts of people who pay attention to the stock market, where they think they're the only ones whose opinions matter. And I feel like we're starting to see that get punctured a little bit as, you know, the reality of the situation breaks through.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you have Mitt Romney out here proposing possibly giving people $1,000, like, right now just to offset things. And it's funny. So many of, like, the funnier tweets and stuff I read over the weekend were things about, you know, just being like, you know, this virus has the government actually giving people human rights now, and trying to address these things. Because I think, it had to come to a point where the rubber met the road, and it was like, are you really going to expect people to not work and also get these things done? Like, how is that even possible? And you can no longer blame other people. You can no longer say rah-rah bootstrap shit. It's like, no, there needs to be tangible assistance for this to work and not have just a chain reaction that, you know, I think they're not quite prepared for.
Yeah, it is been, like, kind of surprising to see. I mean, not surprising, I guess, but just like, how this has forced the government to provide some, like, basic services to people, like, just like things that people have been asking for forever. Like, in LA, there's been, like, a proposal to just get, like, hand washing stations at homeless encampments for, like, ever. And they have just started to roll them out in the last week because it feels like a possible threat to the government. They don't actually give a shit, but, like, at least something's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to take a while, because on one level, you see that they've done everything they could to try and stabilize it from the top down, you know, by slashing interest rates and things like that. And the market still didn't really respond the way they did. And, you know, I think luckily on the other end, hopefully, like, local municipalities, I've seen, like, even in the area, like, school districts trying to set up ways to distribute food for kids who are, like, counting on school to get their meals and things like that. It seems like a lot of the more, tangible or effective solutions are having to come from the people on the ground, because clearly the federal government is in total disarray. But I think I don't know if we can talk about what are positives or negatives throughout this whole thing, but at the very least, these topics are entering the discussion, at least on a national level.
Yeah, I mean, from a historic perspective, it seems like, you know, the last time that America was truly open to very progressive policies was, like, during the Depression and after World War II, or during World War II. So, I mean, maybe that's what it takes to get America, you know, out of its own ass enough to, like, realize that people need help.
Yeah.
Well, Trump is hoping for sort of an easier fix to all of this, and that is a magic pill. He's hoping someone's just gonna make the magic pill. He doesn't like needles, I'm sure. But
I don't like needles. Yeah. Do you have it, and can you put it into a Flintstones chewable vitamin form? Flintstones, kids.
I will say that I haven't laughed at a Trump tweet in a very long time, but I did laugh at his social distancing tweet. Did you see that? That was a pretty good one.
A lot of old man yelling.
Yeah, but so there's a biotech company in Germany that's working on a vaccine for the virus, and I feel like we're hearing that various news stories where people are trying out vaccines or biotech companies are, you know, trying to make advances against the virus. But Donald Trump, being who Donald Trump is, wanted to kind of keep it all for himself.
Yeah, a vaccine would be tremendously helpful right now, clearly, because it's a pandemic. The effects of people not being able to work or falling ill are really significant. And yes, a vaccine would not only be a game changer for everyone's health, but would also be, I guess, very profitable if you're a greedy fucking sociopath like Donald Trump is, who is looking at this possible vaccine as, like, a straight up moneymaker.
Yeah.
So this company in Germany, you know, they've been pretty successful. They were hoping to start, like, trials on people in the summer. And At a certain point, we found out that Donald Trump was offering them a lot of money, like many funds, to lure the company to the United States and to continue to operate in the United States and keep the vaccine just so it would only be available to the United States. And then possibly if they own it, then they can start licensing it to other people. I don't know, but this was purely looked at as a business opportunity from the president. Yeah. To the point where like Germany was in a bidding war with the United States to be like, no, please stay. In the end, they clearly were like, no, this, like, we're not going to leave. And the government of Germany was like, I don't know what the fuck y'all thought you were trying to do. Rick Grenell, who's like the ambassador to Germany or former ambassador, was like, no, that's all just a joke. That never happened. But then when it was confirmed, he was like, okay, maybe that I'll take just my last comment.
JK. Back. Yeah, I feel like this is another place where we're seeing the like market-based economy and government and media apparatus that has run America for so long just being kind of ill-equipped to even like just the paradigm in general, and like people's brains are just incapable of sort of get it wrapping their minds around the idea of a world where it's not just like, oh, we got to get that and sell it and right. You know, beat the competition. It's like, no, we're all trying not to have a species-wide, like, you know, devastation.
It would be right. Cute if it weren't so fucked up, you know, like the fact that like our president is out here like still thinking that we're in charge. Like,
it's right.
So clearly not the case at this point. And just, I don't know.
Or even that the stakes are like low enough that you can play like greedy entrepreneur.
Yeah, you can't be a cartoon villain about this.
Millions of lives. But again, I think that shows the mindset. It's the problem is actually completely abstract to him. And it's much more serious. But yet, here he goes trying to bribe researchers in other countries to be like, give it all to us, and then right. We can sell it. It's really, I mean
seeing anything,
not surprising either.
Seeing anything related to this, like operating on a like a transactional level, is very, very alarming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the shenanigans, I think, of like all of this, it's brought out the best and the worst in people.
This story's wild.
There was like, obviously we'd like last week and the weeks before it, there was clearly a rush on things like masks and cleaning supplies and disinfectant and sanitizers. Also, guys, soap is perfectly great. It's actually very effective because it breaks up the oils in which the virus lives in. So also consider using hand soap too. Just as good. Soapy water, fantastic.
Yeah. Hand lotion. Use that. Because people's hands are getting dried out. Mine start cracking a little bit. Started moisturizing. Much better.
Oh.
Okay. Save that bacon grease too. Someone tell Joe Biden about moisturizer.
What'd you say?
Someone tell Joe Biden about moisturizer.
Oh boy. No, it's too late for Joe.
It was too late. I'm just saying Bernie came in moisturized and you know he was just using Irish Spring.
Oh yeah. Just cutting it with a knife. And rubbing it on himself. So a lot of people have been, you know, buying up these products. There were people obviously trying to price gouge on Amazon and eBay. And so this story came out about this guy and his brother in Kentucky who like went on a multi-state mission to buy up any Purell or masks or other things they thought were going to be profitable, like in a resale capacity. And not only did they make the mistake of like talking out loud to the New York Times about this, but one of the brothers actually showed his fucking human being face on fucking television wearing a shirt that said family man, family business as he like gave a news crew a tour of his garage where he had an estimated 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer plus other goods. So in this article, he's like, yeah, man, it's quote, it's been a huge amount of whiplash. From being in a situation where what I've got coming and going could potentially put my family in a really good place financially to what the heck am I going to do with all this? Was being like, my plan didn't quite work out. And then he was telling them he actually felt maybe like he was doing a real, you know, Paul Revere of Purell public service type vibe where he said, quote, there's a crushing, overwhelming demand in certain cities right now. The Dollar General in the middle of nowhere outside Lexington, Kentucky doesn't have that. I honestly feel like it's a public service and I'm being paid for my public service.
And his public service is how much is he charging people? He's giving it to him at a discounted rate?
No, he was putting the prices so high that eBay and Amazon perma-fucked him off the platform for trying to price gouge. Not only that, I'm pretty sure the state attorney of Kentucky basically threatened him and the brother with legal action if they attempted to unload any of this shit.
Okay.
Yeah. So now they have to donate everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I look forward to the Scam Goddess episode on that.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's such a short-sighted scam, but again, it's like the reflex of how a lot of Americans think, because again, we're like acting out, I keep saying this, we're acting out the same shit we see at a higher level, which is like, oh yeah, someone's in pain, how can I profit off this? Oh, someone's hurt, how can I profit off of this? That's like just, because that's the example we see our institutions and the companies that supposedly take care of us see us as, oh, you got something wrong with you? How am I going to extract every fucking dollar out of you? And it's interesting to see this echo effect in real life. And this guy now, he's saying like, you know, this whole thing's been a lot of like a disaster. He's been getting a lot of cell phone calls, people leaving fucked up messages.
Right. Yeah,
people like sending him pizzas, which is actually kind of fucked up because the people who are in a delivery capacity are at pretty intense risk. But he was saying, it was never my intention to keep necessary medical supplies out of the hands of people who needed them. That's not who I am as a person. And all I've been told for the last 48 hours is how much of that person I am. Yeah, facts.
Okay. Ugh, Jesus. Well, I'm glad that he was thwarted at least. That's good. What a fucking Kentucky loser.
Kentucky seems to be having a rough time. Rough go of it during this, just adapting in general, because there's this duo, and then there's also the guy who tested positive and then was like, you can't quarantine me, I have my rights. And so they had to like put an armed guard outside his house to keep him from leaving and infecting people.
From what I've heard, I feel like Andy Beshear, who's the governor, had a decent response. I don't know how true that is. I mean, I think every state's sort of dealing with everything in their own ways. Yeah. But there's definitely, again, and I'm sure this will be a thing we continue to talk about as all kinds of news come out, but like we're starting, this is a really interesting examination of the psyche of Americans also generationally, socially at every level. You see like the attitude too of like a lot of older people who have the mentality of like America's the greatest country and nothing bad will ever happen.
Right.
Having to sort of be confronted with the fact that, this can very well upend that, self-held identity that everyone thought.
Yeah. All right. Well, what one phrase that I'm hearing people use a lot now is draconian. Are you guys hearing that in a lot of places?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of dragon hate.
Yeah. A lot of dragon hate. I was assuming, you know, this headset, like the derivation was something to do with Draco Malfoy, but that's actually not the case. So Draco
that's not where that comes from.
Yeah, I know. I think Draco Malfoy might come from this, believe it or not.
Good boy.
Wow, J.K. Rowling doing a cute little turn of phrase.
Isn't that wild?
And being a transphobe. Wow.
She truly does it all.
Who says women can't have it all?
Draco gets a really bad rap. He was the first legislator in ancient Greece to make laws. And like people were like, fuck your laws.
Don't I got rights?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Fuck it is, Draco. Well,
so, I mean, prior to that, it had been blood feuds and like, you know, whoever was in charge could decide whatever they wanted to do to people. And there were these random people who were arbitrarily able to enforce the laws because they like quote unquote knew the code. That wasn't so that he was the first person to write them down. Now, granted, when we look back at them, they're not great laws. Like they had capital punishment for like stealing a cabbage. But they also made big progress in terms of just writing them down in the first place, because everything up to that point was just whoever, you know, had the power and the weapon at that point, got to decide what the law was. And also, it made distinctions like between manslaughter and murder. That was the first time those were viewed as separate. So very early stages law stuff, but, I think because people were like pissed that anyone was writing laws down in the first place, we were like, this is draconian. This is terrible.
So I'd hate just to writing be, shit down.
Yeah. I'd hate to be a actually person, but wasn't the Code of Hammurabi one of the earliest written down laws in history?
Ooh. Yeah, this might be like Western bias where this is one of the first.
Just, you know, just like want to hold it down for Hammurabi, you know? Yeah.
When was Hammurabi?
We're living in a weird time because this is normally something that you would hear from like a guy at a party.
Right.
One who's like, actually,
the Code of Hammurabi.
There's a lot of baggage attached to the term draconian that you might not actually realize, and then be like, oh, sorry, I'm gonna go get another Miller Lite. I'll be right back.
Yeah. No, this is what.
And while that guy leaves.
I wasn't able to go to parties and just make people run away from me with really boring historic derivations of words. So,
and I would always have to shoehorn in that I knew what the Code of Hammurabi was.
Yeah, you're like, you guys are like wingmen for each other. Of like, dude, no, you guys both come off looking real smart.
Miles pretends like he just overheard the conversation. He's like, oh, hey, I couldn't help but overhear that you were talking.
At the end of the night, we meet up outside the party and we compare notes. We're like, all right, so how do we do? How many numbers you get? They're like, I had three women tell me to never fucking talk to them. Oh shit!
This is like really like info.
It's info from the same guy that is like, only watch season one of Mr. Robot. It gets really shitty after that.
Yeah. So there's this band Tame Impala. It's basically one guy though.
Oh boy.
Well, I guess I'm going to spike the next story about how season two of Mr. Robot really drops off.
Well,
and
you really expect me to watch something and then tell me it's a dream halfway through the season, honey? Come on.
Oh, you're going to hate that one episode, that one season of fucking Dexter. My God.
Oh, wow. Oh, I hope things don't get so bad that I have to watch Dexter. That would be too bad.
Truly apocalyptic.
Truly.
All right, guys, let's take another break and we'll be back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and let's talk pop culture. Let's talk things that aren't the news.
Yeah.
Let's talk REM, one of my favorite bands growing up that nobody really listens to anymore.
Hey, well, so it's the end of the world. I think a lot of people know that's maybe that's the only REM song. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
It's just that, and like they did Everybody Hurts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Wow, look at you. So that song came out in 87, I believe. And right, like, I think at its heyday, when it was on the charts, like in the 80s, it peaked at number 69 on Billboard's Hot 100.
Swish.
Currently, on the iTunes charts, it's number 43. And wow, that's 29 spots higher than it was on Friday. So this song is climbing the effing charts right now.
Yeah.
This is like the dystopian version of when like Bohemian Rhapsody got really popular again when Wayne's World came out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're both good songs. I think you need that. They need to both be songs that hold up.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Bohemian Rhapsody came back with the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, which I don't know. Now I worry.
Is that a Wayne's World movie?
Yeah, that's a Wayne's World. It's about the making of Wayne's World.
Wayne's
World. Yeah. It's a Wayne's World joint.
No, but I feel like it's now people are like, that song sucks, and like think it's Queen's most popular song. Whereas when it first came back, it was like, oh yeah, here's a unheralded gem from the early days of Queen. Now people are like, it's the Ice Ice Baby of the 70s. Like, we get it.
I think when you compare it to other songs that are coming out right now, it's getting more downloads than Billie Eilish's Bad Guy, Lizzo's Good as Hell, and Niall Horan. Is that how you say his name?
Horan.
From One Direction? Horan?
I think it's Horan.
Anyway, that guy, the One Direction guy, he put out a new album last Friday, and this song from R.E.M. is still just crushing all of them.
Ouch.
But
R.E.M. are great musicians.
Get those royalties, fellas.
Yeah. All right, guys, for the rest of the show, let's just talk about our favorite R.E.M. albums. You go first. What's number
one? Was it Are You Talking R.E.M. to Me?
Yeah, there is a show. Yeah. And I was a huge R.E.M. fan, and even I couldn't listen to that. So,
Oh boy.
I like both of those guys, too.
It's they had hard one to good listen episode to people
where they had
R.E.M.
the guys from Vampire Weekend on to talk about their album, but... check out Automatic for the People if you want to get into REM and New Adventures in Hi-Fi.
Hell yeah, dog.
I literally just got a text from Her Majesty from the other room who says, you were right the first time, Niall Horan, like whore and then hyphen UN.
Okay.
Her Majesty is at it again.
Yo, Her Majesty is shadow producing from the other room.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hi, Her Majesty. Thank you.
She's not going to hear this. I got headphones on.
Oh.
Now she's saying, she's texting me, I can hear you, motherfucker. Niall is a sweet boy. I love him. Be nice.
Okay.
I think
man,
Niall
fuck
is
Niall.
Great. Okay.
All right. I don't know who Niall is.
Maybe you guys need to work this out. Do you need to take a quick break to kind of work this out? A nihilist?
No. I'll take a quick break for her to smash my podcasting equipment.
We believe in nothing. So, Miles, you and Her Majesty, speaking of Her Majesty, you guys were doing some like old 1800s style
parlor games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's really important to find ways to entertain yourselves right now, especially because it's very stressful. Trust me, I understand the stress that everyone's under, from financial stress to social stress to existential stress. It's all there. And I think it's really important, A, that we, you know, try and be as adaptable as possible and have our hearts as open as possible, just a preamble to all of this. I think everyone needs to be as helpful to each other right now more than ever. And if you're able to help other people, please do in any way you can. Because I think right now, when our own institutions are failing to maybe provide those things at a certain extent, we may have to rely on each other. So I just want to begin with, please open your hearts, wallets, whatever you can, to be, you know, to absorb this shock with everyone as best as possible. And I think it's really also important that we like make the best time of our time together. If we are holed up with people, you might be holed up with people you like, you might be holed up with people that you don't like. But let's try and make the best of that. Over the weekend, I got tired of watching things on TV and cooking. So Her Majesty and I were just like, okay, let's go back to basics. I was like, I have not drawn something in ages because A, I'm a terrible illustrator and I don't like to engage in things I'm not good at. But for the sake of fun, I was like, you know what? Let's revisit some of these artistic skills I had. And we came up with, it could be a game that already exists. I don't know. But I was just like, I had one legal pad and a pen. I said, okay, 60-second portrait challenge. I would pose for her. She would have 60 seconds to draw my likeness on the page. Then I would get the pad. I would not see what she drew. I would have 60 seconds to draw her. The results may shock your relationship to their core, to the point that they dissolve. Her Majesty is actually decent with the pen and forms and shapes. I don't even know what you could describe my drawing portrait of her as, except for mildly offensive.
I would say that maybe some pupils to her eyes would have been helpful if I just giving some tips.
I ran out of time.
Something in her eye holes besides nothing.
In her eye holes. Something her eye holes. I tried the... I'll post it to my story so people can see how awful of an illustrator I am. But yeah, I think games like that are just really funny because honestly, try it with anybody. You'll be, if you're really good, you'll be impressed. You'll see someone has art skills, or you'll just have a good old larf. And please hit us up with any games, lo-fi, low technology games, activities you have to sort of engage yourself.
Yeah, we've been finding old funny exercise videos because I get so stir crazy when I can't go on walks and stuff like that. So Jane Fonda's got your damn back. She's on there. It's the horniest video in American history.
Really?
Yeah, my whole body hurts. I've been doing it for 3 days now.
But bring it back to the horniness. What's horny about it?
It's like, it's really horny. It's her in 1982. She's wearing this skimpy outfit. And like, she's just like, it's like a, and stretch and then like, she's like pulsing her hips the whole time. She's like making a humping motion when the exercise doesn't even call for it.
Oh,
it's just all it's electric.
All right. And so some news that isn't as depressing as all the other news right now is that we do have a medical breakthrough in the realm of getting you less addicted to cocaine. and it comes from Dr. Fiona Apple. She has a lengthy profile in The New Yorker that is a good read. We all have time now, so check it out. But really early on, we get this anecdote about how partying hard with Quentin Tarantino and Paul Thomas Anderson got her to quit doing cocaine.
Yeah, that is a very interesting one. So she used to date Paul Thomas Anderson and actually reveals like they had a very tumultuous, like a weird relationship where he was kind of emotionally abusive and she was like drinking a lot. He partied hard.
I mean, if you listen to her music from that time, it's all there, baby.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay, Paul.
Yeah.
So because of that, you know, he's a director. Quentin's a director. That means they do coke, I guess. There's this one line that is just very, very telling from The New Yorker. It says, she had quit cocaine years earlier after spending, quote, one excruciating night, end quote, at Quentin Tarantino's house, listening to him and Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson, brag. this is from her, quote, every addict should just get locked in a private movie theater with QT and PTA on coke, and they'll never want to do it again, end quote.
I mean, it's just because they're like turned up to an 11. It's probably fucking insufferable.
Oh my God, yeah. And for people with such like really strong opinions on film and visual aesthetics and things like that, I can only imagine being a bite. It's probably like watching two Furbies talk where you're like, I don't know what they're doing. And I know I don't want to be here and it's freaking me the fuck out.
And I don't know how to turn them off. There is no clear off switch and the doors are locked and I feel unsafe. Yeah, no, Fiona Apple is the fucking best. I'm so excited. I hope she releases new music early. For all of us quarantine heads that need it. She's so amazing.
Right. I think the album, I think the piece is talking about an album that's like in process and might be coming out.
Yeah, it's about
soon.
To come out.
She said it's done. So, that's exciting. So I'm like, I'm fingers crossed. There was a lot of good press around her when Hustlers came out too, because J-Lo does that amazing pole dance to Criminal at the beginning of the movie. And she contacted someone at Vulture. Like, she just emailed someone, was like, hey, do you want to talk to me? And then, like, there was another great profile. She just seems great. She's just hanging out. She's been quarantined.
Yeah. It seems like she's an artist who made her art, like, the center of her life, which, you know, and she keeps making really good shit. This is actually somewhat reassuring to me, because, you know, like any person who was a teenager in the 90s, I liked the movies of Quentin Tarantino and Paul Thomas Anderson, or at least any male who was a teenager at that time. I feel like, yeah. And they, whenever I would like see them interviewed or like read a feature about where a journalist like spent significant time with them, they were just these like insufferable and like just kind of unidentifiable as human beings. Like the way they behaved was just like so strange and overstimulated, and I think that's actually a word from one of the profiles that I read of Paul Thomas Anderson.
That's a nice way of saying on coke.
I never, I was like, yeah, I was always like, wait, are they like, do they have like some, is that like what you need to be like a great director? You just have this like natural reservoir of energy or something, and it turns out they were just on cocaine like you would have thought.
What I would describe as insufferable enthusiasm is what they suffer from. It's quite astonishing. I mean, Paul Thomas Anderson, local Valley scumlord, so salute to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. I'm like, whatever.
The other thing in that profile is, and I didn't realize that she had dated Louis C.K.,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
I didn't either.
I've always blocked that out, but that is true.
Yeah, read the whole piece. There's a lot of stuff in there that's a really interesting read.
Yeah. But she like at first expected him to like do some trenchant like self-evaluation and come out with really interesting material following his outing as a creep and a sexual predator. And then, you know, she talks about her coming to the realization that that wasn't happening.
Right.
And yeah.
Jeez.
That'll happen.
Yeah, that will happen. And finally, just in terms of reporting on what people are doing to kind of pass the time, I don't know if, do we want to ask Zeitgang to reach out, let us know any other parlor games they're doing? I did want to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger, who seems to be just sitting at a small table eating carrots with his two.
I love it so much. Yeah, he's with a pony named Whiskey and a donkey named Lulu. Yeah. He's wearing a Terminator t-shirt.
Yeah,
he's
of course.
In his little kitchen and he's just being like, don't go out. It's okay. Everything's fine. Don't go outside. It has to be seen to be believed. It's so good.
Cut to 5 days from now and he's spit roasting that fucking dog.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I was just fattening them up for the slaughter.
Right.
Lulu, you shouldn't have bucked me off that one time.
I have one more thing about just a quick Mensa X. This is our collab of the day is Mensa X coronavirus.
Oh, okay, love to hear about those collabs.
So they've been dunking on me like extra hard. I've been getting a lot of mean emails from them the past week since
your famous write ups.
Boom. So I've been getting a lot of hate mail from them, but independently of that, they have their regional gatherings, and one was supposed to happen in Las Vegas. So this is like a couple thousand people, and they refused to cancel it.
Wow.
Yeah, like they were sending out emails saying, let's see, quote, "My gut tells me that we will provide food, drink, lots of drink. There'll be entertainment options (parentheses open mic) and speakers who are still willing to do their thing with a predictably small audience. This is a choice to attend or not attend, but I want everyone to know who's coming to town that you will not be left hanging." So like the fucking genius club is like, actually, let's gather in numbers of hundreds because you know you're immune.
I'm actually smart enough to know which expert opinions to completely ignore.
Yeah.
It's a rare gift.
It's a rare gift. The last thing, I mean, I just think it did end up like having to get shut down, but just so beautifully poetic that they were the last to go down.
Well, you see how much like people's egos are also involved in this. Like the idea, like no one wants to, I think a lot of people are looking at this the wrong way, which is like, oh, I ain't as scared of no corones. You know, or like, I'm not going to get the flu or whatever, rather than, no, I need to actually stay away to minimize anybody interacting and spreading infection. It's not because you are weak. And like a lot of people take that. I've noticed this with a lot of older people who are like, I'm going to be fine. It's not that it's going to hurt me. It's like, no, you're missing the point here. Like, you actually need to stay inside, not because I look at you as a weak person, even though secretly low key I do. It's not about that. It's mostly about the fact that you have to minimize your risk of exposure and spread. And I've had a really interesting time speaking to all kinds of family members about the reasons why I understand it was way tougher back in X country that you came here from. But that's not what this is. It's not a challenge of who's been through more. It's a challenge about, can we put our, you know, can we put our neighbors' safety and the community safety as a priority and restrict our movement?
Exactly. Yeah.
There's thing that the women who host Night Call were talking about, that Moon, I think Moon Juice is the company that like charges
$13
for a small thing of almond milk. But they were releasing or sending out mass emails where they were like, just, you know, we are lucky enough to be people who are in control of our own immunity and can, you know, be like just basically, or our own immune systems, basically, you know, the Mensa version of mindfulness, essentially, where they just believe themselves to be immune. And it's just, it's very counterproductive to community spread.
There was an intensely stupid Raya announcement as well. Raya being the, like, whatever, we're like C-list celebrities.
Well, really break down what, I mean, I don't know if Raya's in a lot of listeners' cities,
you,
but like.
So how do you explain Raya? I've never like.
Raya is like, you. Raya's basically Hinge for people with a publicist, essentially. So like, it's almost like trying to be like the creme de la crap of the city, you know, like, oh yeah, like I work in this industry. You need other people to co-sign for you to get in. Like, it's meant to be like really exclusive. And like many people in LA will bitch about how they couldn't get on Raya or whatever. Like, I even had a recommendation and I have a whatever. So it's already, that's the mentality of Raya.
It's like elitist by design, but there was, I'm trying to look for the official, like, cause everyone, I mean, I've gotten a like COVID-19 message from Forever 21 being like, we swear we'll clean the dressing rooms this time. I've gotten it from 7-Eleven being like, we will never close. The Raya one, I saw people posting, was just like, hey, we've shut down all the profiles of people over a certain age. And
oh, I have it right here. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, please. The ending is gorgeous.
Dear members, as you know, Raya is a global community with members in each corner of the world. Our platform seeks to enable connections across continents and creative media. In light of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are disabling international matches as of today and discouraging our community from flying both private and commercial. We've also paused memberships for users 50 plus in order to keep them safe. If you must connect, please remember these guidelines. Wash your hands frequently before and after meals, handshakes, and intimate encounters. Avoid hot tubs, jacuzzis, saunas, steam rooms, etc. Stay away from gyms and Pilates studios. Ask your trainer to come to you instead. The CDC recommends avoiding hotels with 3 stars or fewer.
That is the
Please
one where
stay
you're just
safe,
like...
and we hope to see you back again soon.
Oh
what
my
the
God.
Fuck?
Ugh, it's literally just a text that every single one of Kristen Stewart's friends got. Like, it's just so. It's fine. I mean.
That's also like,
amazing.
Yeah, like it sounds like a bit that'll eventually be on like SNL. Like the game of this sketch is to get more and more wildly specific to 1% or lifestyle stuff. It's like, right. Yeah, avoid hot tubs, Swedish saunas, and like infrared baths. It's like, yeah, do not go to the blah, you know, anyway.
Timothy Chalamet has been seen coughing. Maybe don't hang out with him.
Yeah.
Even for clout.
I mean, we have managed to ignore the big story of yesterday as it relates to coronavirus, and that is that Idris Elba, Stringer Bell himself.
Yeah.
Shout out to him and his wife, who I didn't know if it was his wife or his daughter.
He got married. Don't you love, that's some Raya shit. I mean, I hope that he's doing okay. That's
right.
Super producer Ana Husnier's hall pass. So
Yeah.
Got to keep him in good health.
That definitely had reverberations through Daily Zeitgeist production when Idris Elba was, you know, came down with COVID-19.
Yeah. That's when
You do hate to hear it.
It's my pass used to be Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
Wow. That's amazing.
Mine's, yeah. Well, that was actually, this is pre, like, cancellation, even pre Her Majesty. I haven't even discussed what my pass, I think Lola Bunny now is the one,
right.
One person who has my heart.
Oh. That's fucked up.
that is.
I think mine is still Will Poulter.
Wow.
Yeah. Who? That I thought that crush was gonna die, but it is a fire that will not be extinguished.
Yeah, I remember you saying this, and I get it. Even though he looks like what's his face from Toy Story.
Sid.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He's good.
But I shouldn't slander him. I believe he's also an Arsenal fan, so shout out to Will Poulter.
He is.
Oh, he is? You know this?
Yeah, I don't know what it means, but I know that it's true.
Wait, you've read up enough about him to even passively gain this knowledge?
Everything about Will Poulter. And then 3 weeks ago, Isaac was sitting next to him at a bar and was just like, I found out that Will Poulter is actually too accessible to us because he goes to a bar near our house where beer costs $4, so...
Oh,
don't know.
Scary. Scary times for Isaac.
Scary. Yeah.
Scary times. Yeah.
Well, Jamie, it's been a pleasure having you here today with us. Where can people find you, follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help. You can find me on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. Bechdelcast still coming out, baby, every Thursday. And everyone in your area, check out and see if there is a mutual aid effort going on. I just learned about the one in my area yesterday. If you can give a little money, if you can donate a little food, or if you're able to like drive stuff places, depending on what your area and state of health is, could be helpful. There's like some docs where they're listed by region. And those are the words I wanted to say.
All right. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Maybe come back to me. I've only faved depressing ass stuff.
Okay. Miles, where can people find you? And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, on the PlayStation Network at Miles of Gray. Probably be trying to play some more video games, in these dark times. You can also find me on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, that I host with Sophia Alexandra. Look, y'all got time? Get into 90 Day Fiance. Join me on the trash ride. That is that show. In terms of tweets that I like, a couple. This one was pretty funny over the weekend. It's from Rachel McCartney at Rachel M. Comedy. September 2021, the pandemic is over, but nothing will ever be the same. The virus wiped out half our parents, and we had to say goodbye over Skype. But today, groups are allowed to gather again, and stand-up comedy returns. The first comedian takes the mic. So dating's been hard. And a few more. Another one is from where is she at? Alyssa Limp Paris, former guest at Alyssa Limp. I picked a hell of a time to have not learned how to cook for the past 29 years. And then a last one, we didn't really talk about the debate because these are trying times. We'll get to debate coverage in a second. But from Jamie Loftus, you tweeted something very funny that I love. There was a moment on the debate stage where there was a lot of Bernie was cornering Joe Biden on a few things. One was sort of like, oh, so you never supported cuts to Medicaid and Social Security? And he's like, oh, no. And the way Bernie like scoffed at him, it looked like two 14-year-olds having a fight. It's like, oh, you never said that? Okay, guys, go to the YouTube right fucking now and search Joe Biden, Medicare cuts. The shit's right there. You're going to fucking take an L, Joe. But I don't know how many people were actually watching the debate the other day. The other moment was talking about super PACs where Bernie was saying, look, Joe, you got some super PACs going. Joe Biden to Bernie's like, oh, yeah, well, you've got like 9 super PACs. And he was like, no, I don't. And then this tweet from Jamie, she tweeted, here are the Bernie's 9 super PACs Biden is talking about. Asterisk takes off top, reveals 9 thick nipples, dripping pennies.
Thank you for the signal boost. There's
I honestly just wanted, I would buy that as a poster.
Hell yeah. I think I found a tweet. This is, it's more of an idea than a tweet, but I have found a lot of comfort in cursed Caroline Calloway content the past couple of days. She's in a Twitter feud with Roxane Gay. I don't know why, but I'm just it's just something to do is watch Caroline Calloway and Roxane Gay fight with each other about, from what I can tell, literally nothing. So I recommend going over to either of their profiles. They're both way too online in times of crisis, and it's very entertaining.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Miss United Face at Miss United Face tweeted the TikTok of Kristen Chenoweth like going around cleaning her house for the camera in a very like fun musical way on TikTok, and he tweeted, "We need a rescue mission for all the personal assistants trapped in quarantine with their celebrity clients to film their coronavirus content," which is a real bummer. And then Graham Clark tweeted a picture that Eminem put out there of himself in like a black leather jacket with a black t-shirt overlooking New York City and looking really tough. And he tweeted, "This fall on NBC, martial law." It really looks like a Law and Order.
Wait, instead of Marshall Mathers?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah. It's good content. And we need content at this time. Am I right?
In this time, guys? Of Corona content. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to just keep a soft spot in your heart whenever you see a comedian going live on Instagram. They're really going through it. There's going to be a lot of comedians going live on Instagram. And here's the thing. Most of it's not going to be very good. You got to just... I want Chris Crofton to stream Poetry Corner. That's what I want.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll have to, like, force him to go... We'll have to force him to go live with one of us, too.
Yeah.
Join streams.
Crofton, name your price.
Yeah. We should probably... Yeah, we'll get Crofton to give us some YouTube picks every day.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on today?
I think we need light music. We need bright music. We need to feel like Desmond when he's down in the hatch. This is a track called Thinking by The Meters from New Orleans. Great band. I've recommended their music before, but you know, you could just run through their catalog and it's very uplifting, bright. Love and support and positivity to everybody out there. It's going to be a hard couple of weeks, months, but we just, you know, let's all stick together, let's stay positive, and hopefully we spread light to each other, because we might be all we got for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Woo. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We will be back this afternoon to tell you guys what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.